This evening I invite your attention back to Psalm 119. We looked at this psalm last Sunday night and considered the love that the psalmist expresses for the love of God. I want to consider verse 127, I believe. Thought I had written it down, and it's not there. Psalm 119, verse 127 and 128. We think again about the love that the psalmist expresses. He says, "Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way." Looked at a number of things concerning how the psalmist expressed a great love for God's Word. And tonight I want to go back to Psalm 119 and look at this psalm from just a slightly different direction. Because as the psalmist expresses a great love for God's Word, we're also going to see throughout this psalm a great determination. The psalmist time and time again is going to use expressions such as "I will" or "I shall" in reference to him serving God. In reference here that "I love your word, God, and therefore I'm going to follow it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to put it into action." So I want to look at a number of those places throughout the psalm tonight where he says, "I will." And I want to begin in verse 7 and 8. So he talks about an "I will" of purpose. It says in Psalm 119, verse 7 and 8, "I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forget me not utterly." You see here a psalmist that expressing a great resolve. I am going to serve your way. I have purposed in my heart that I am going to follow you. That I am going to seek out your statutes, your judgments, your wisdom, your word. And learning it, I am going to put it into action. You see a resolve also here. He says, "I'm going to do it," and that's the end of the story. Not as long as you bless me or you do the things that I think you should do. Not as long as things are going well for me. But God, I'm going to keep your word. I'm going to keep your word no matter what happens. You could look in verse 106, and again the psalmist is going to say, "I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments." And again in verse 34, as he says, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." He says, "God, I'm going to serve you." There is a purpose and a determination here that the psalmist expressed that all of us should have. That we're going to look to God's Word, and having studied it, having looked at it, we're going to put it into action. I, of course, think of Daniel in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. And here was even a young man. And it says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Daniel already had set in his mind, "I'm going to serve and honor God no matter the circumstances." Here he is in the king's palace, and it might even mean death, but Daniel is going to serve God. He's determined already. He's purposed in his heart, "I will serve God." The same kind of determination we look at when we consider a great leader such as Joshua. And here Joshua has some pretty big shoes to fill. Moses has just died, and God says, "You are now the leader of my people. But I'm going to give you some instructions. I'm going to give you some help." And so he tells Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7, "Be strong and very courageous, that thou may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." He says, "You walk in my way. You determine I'm going to serve God. That's going to help you be a great leader before God's people. That's going to help you and give you a key to success as you go into this promised land that I have said I'm going to give to you and to the children of Israel." You need that same purpose, that same determination. It's the same purpose and determination we need today. I talk a lot about Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. In some ways, I guess you could consider it one of my favorite verses. I'm afraid too often we look at it and see nothing but a threat. When Jesus says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." There is a warning there for those that will reject God and reject His will. But even greater than that, there's a promise. Not everyone's going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But then we need to ask ourselves, who will? And He answers that question for us in that verse. Those that will do the will of my Father which is in heaven, they're going to enter into that kingdom of heaven. And so that needs to be my determination. But I want to know your will, God, and I want to put it into action. That's going to be my purpose, my determination, my drive. And that's the kind of purpose that we see in the psalmist. But then he continues and he also says, there is an I will of right thinking. I'm going to think those things that are right and follow in them. He says in Psalm 119, verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. The word meditate here comes from a meaning of talking to oneself or meditating. In other words, I'm going to ponder on these things. I'm going to dwell on them. I'm going to put thought into them. This is more than just simply, I'm going to read your word, God. I'm going to skim it. He says, I'm going to think about it. I'm going to study it. I'm going to apply it even to my very life. I want to know what it has to say concerning me. I'm going to digest that which you have given me in your word. He knows this is what he needs. He knows this is what's going to guide him and direct him in the right path. He says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, verse 105. So that's what I need to look on. That's what I need to meditate. That's what I need to study as I'm going through this life. You go all the way back to the first psalm and you're going to see the same kind of determination and the reward from such. In Psalm 1, beginning in verse 1, he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The one that is blessed is the one, verse 2, who has his delight in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You see a determination here. I want to meditate on your way, on your word. Because I know that's how I'm going to prosper. That's how I'm going to grow. Those are the things that are going to lead me to think in the right way. You think a lot of things of the world, but they won't necessarily lead me in the right direction. They won't give me the right things to think about. And so I'm going to think on your word. Again, go back to that example we used of Joshua. Joshua wasn't just told, follow my will, have a determination to do right. He was told also, you meditate on God's word. Joshua 1 and verse 8, this book of my law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, then shalt thou have good success. We need that same determination today, that determination, the I will of right thinking. A lot of people, unfortunately, in the world are set on their own ways, set on their own thinking, instead of looking to God and looking to His Word to find those things that are right. And so Paul would instruct Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 15, meditate on these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Timothy is a young preacher here, but certainly to any Christian. You need to know God's Word. You need to study it. And as you do so, your profiting is not only going to help you, it's going to benefit others that you get to talk with, that you get to study with, that you get to have some sort of impact on in their lives. But it's only going to come through that right thinking of studying God's Word. And so even James will tell us concerning God's Word, whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed, James 1:25. He says this Word, God's Word, the Bible that He's given us, it's like that mirror we have to continually look into and see those things that are right and see those things that are wrong. It's going to correctly guide and direct us in our ways, and that's going to begin with our thinking. That we have to see, is my thinking in line with God's Word? We need that resolve of the psalmist that says, I will think right because I'm meditating in Your Word. Not only that, I believe we hit on this for a moment last week, but there is an I will of pleasure. I'm going to take pleasure. I'm going to take joy in following Your Word. It's not going to be something I dread. It's not going to be something I don't look forward to, that I think some way constricts me. He says, I'm going to take pleasure in doing that which is right and knowing that I am serving You. Again, look at verse 17 of Psalm 119. He says, deal bountifully with Thy servant, that I may live and keep Thy Word. Also in verse 16, is one I meant to grab there, he says, I will delight myself in Thy statutes. I will not forget Thy Word. You see there a pleasure. I will delight myself in Your Word. You also jump down to verse 47 of the same chapter. I will delight myself in Thy commandments, which I have loved. Why? Well, number one, because He's loved His Word, just as we've said before. He's recognized the value of it. He recognizes that it's for His own benefit. And so He knows this is what I'm going to follow. I know I'm doing that which is right when I'm following God. It's something that I can take joy in. It's something that I'm going to take pleasure in. And yet you look at the world, they don't take pleasure in serving God. They consider being following God, being faithful unto Him, is constricting. Can't do those things that I want to do. I can't do those things that I take pleasure in. But as we grow as a Christian, we should begin to take pleasure in doing that which is right, that which is according to God's Word. So many examples, again, in the New Testament that we find of those that literally took great joy and pleasure in knowing that they were right. I think of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8 and verse 39, and it says, when they came up out of the water, the eunuch was able to go on his way rejoicing. Why? He knew all of his sins had been washed away. They'd been forgiven. He knew he could go on his way rejoicing because he is faithfully serving God and looking forward to that eternal home with Him in heaven. We find a similar situation if you jump over to Acts chapter 16. And you have the Philippian jailer, a man that just moments before was ready to take his life because he thought his prisoners had escaped. Paul begins to speak about the gospel to him. And when he is obedient to the gospel, it's going to produce joy in the life of him and his family. In verse 34 it says, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before him and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. There is reason for joy because now he knows he's in a right state with God. We can find those even that are being persecuted and tried in Acts chapter 5 and verse 41. And instead of getting down in the dumps, they're rejoicing. They depart from the council in the presence, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Even though they're being persecuted, I know I'm doing right. I know I'm walking right with God, and so I'm going to take joy in that. That's the instruction Jesus had given when He was on the face of the earth and He's in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, and He says you can take joy even in suffering, even in being persecuted, for so persecuted they, the prophets, before you. But then also I think of Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. And the disciples that had been sent out on a limited commission, they began returning and proclaiming unto Jesus all the things that they had done. And they began rejoicing in the fact of the works that they had done. That even they were able to cast out demons and heal sick people. And he says, rejoice not in those things. Rejoice in the fact, he says, that your names are written in heaven. Luke chapter 10, verse 20. It's the greatest reason for joy as we go through this life. And we know that we're walking correctly with God. But what's our source of pleasure? Is it doing that which is right? The psalmist took great pleasure therein. Again, Psalm 119, look again at verse 127. I love thy commandments, yea, above fine gold. They are the things that are most precious to me as I go through this life. Then again, verse 103 and verse 104. How sweet are thy words unto my mouth, or unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. You see a great love and a great value. When he says, I love your word and when I value it, I'm going to take joy in doing it. And so there is pleasure. But he also says there is an I will here of vigorous effort. Not just that I have determined to do your will, but I'm going to put great emphasis on it. I'm going to work at it. In verse 32, the psalmist will say, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. There is an effort here. There is an urgency expressed in this running. It implies effort. I'm going to apply myself to walking in your way. One can walk out of the force of habit. Running is going to take effort. If you ever see me running, you better wonder what's going on. I don't run anywhere. I'm going to walk. But if there is a sense of urgency, I can run. I don't take joy in it. There's not many of you in here, some of the ones that are a little younger than me, I can see you running, but not many others that I think take much more pleasure in running. There is an urgency in it. You continue looking here, and the psalmist says in verse 59 and verse 60, he says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. He understood the importance of following God. He understood the importance of doing that which was right with an extreme urgency and an extreme effort. We're told in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23 that there is some effort, some decision that we have to make. If you will come after me, Jesus said, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. It's not a decision we're accidentally going to make. It's not a decision in following Christ that just becomes a ho-hum. There needs to be an urgency. There needs to be an importance there that we're striving to do that which is right. Think of Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 1, he begins listing a number of Christian graces that we are, as Christians, should be growing in. And he says, you put forth a diligent effort in these things. Christian life isn't one in which we can just sit back and let life pass by. He says, you work at these things and work at growing as a Christian. It begins in verse 5 and he says, besides this, give all diligence to add to your faith virtue. And he continues down that list of Christian graces. And then in verse 8 he'll say, for if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that you shall never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, he'll encourage them in verse 11, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. There's an urgency there to do that which is right. We see an urgency in a number of the conversion accounts, even the Philippian jailer. Here they are in the middle of the night, and it says in that same hour they went and baptized him. They didn't wait. They understood the importance of the matter. In our continued walk in our Christian lives, it's not something we should delay and say, I'll put that off for a future time. I'll put that off until I'm older in life. We don't know what our time in this life is. And so there is an urgency with which we should carry these things out, an importance that we should place on them instead of on the things of this life. But also he says and reminds us there is an I will of voluntary action. A reminder, I chose to do these things. And when we remember that this is a voluntary action and not something we've been forced into, oftentimes we'll serve with much greater joy, much greater pleasure, much greater remembrance here of this determination or purpose to serve God. Look in verse 44 and 45. He says, "So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." And again, verse 47, "I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved." Why am I doing this? Not because someone held me at gunpoint. Not because someone threatened my life. But because I chose to do this. Joshua looks a nation in the eye in Joshua 24 and verse 15, and he says, "Choose you this day. Who are you going to serve? Is it going to be the gods your father served? Is it going to be the gods or idols of the nations all around you? Are you going to serve the one true and living God?" You're going to have to make that decision. You have to make that choice. The psalmist remembers, "I voluntarily chose to follow God. And I do so because I love Him and I love His Word." Look in Acts chapter 2, or think about Acts chapter 2. There again you have a picture of Peter. He's preaching the gospel on that occasion. Those that gladly received His Word were the ones that were faithful, the ones that decided they were going to be obedient. And that same is continues true. As we look throughout the New Testament, it's those that chose to obey God that were going to be faithful unto Him. Not one that was ever faithful to God because they were forced into it, because they were made to make that decision. Each one of us, if we're going to be a faithful Christian, it's going to be because we made that choice. Because we love God, because we love His Word, and we want to follow Him. And the psalmist says, that's the choice that even I made. It was voluntary. And so I'm going to continue voluntarily serving Him. We need to remember the law we serve is that perfect law of liberty. James chapter 1 and verse 25. That perfect law of liberty that sets us free, this liberty that the psalmist is talking about. Instead of now being confined by sin and the things of the world, I walk according to the liberty. I've been set free from that bondage. And so again, I will do so voluntarily. He continues, and he says also there's an I will, a determination here of a missionary spirit. I'm going to tell others about the joy that I have. I'm going to tell others about the great Word of God that I follow, that I trust in, that I am obedient to. Look in verse 46 where he says, "I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed." And verse 172 where he says, "My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness." He says, "I know your word is right. I know it's what's good. I know it's what's true. And so I'm going to speak of it. I'm not going to be ashamed. I'll proclaim it even unto kings, unto all people of the earth. I will proclaim your word." Of course, I have to think about Paul. Paul, who in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Paul, who would speak before kings, even as he did in Acts chapter 26, as he's speaking to Agrippa, he's speaking to the rulers of the world. He speaks to the great philosophers in Acts chapter 7 as he's on Mars Hill. He speaks even to people of all classes. Because he's going to proclaim the Word of God to all people. In fact, Philippians chapter 1, he'll even say, whether free or in bonds, I was going to proclaim the Word of God. I'll proclaim it to those that were in Caesar's house. I'll proclaim it at all times. He would be able to tell Timothy, though I am in bonds, the Word of God is not bound. He's going to continue to preach it with every opportunity that he had. And so like the psalmist and like Paul, that should be continue to be our same attitude. That I want people to know God's Word. I'm going to teach them about it. I'm going to remind them of those things that are right and those things that are good. And I'm going to do so with gratitude. Verse 62. It says, there is an I will of gratitude. Psalm 119 and verse 62. He says, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. When others are in bed, when others are sleeping, I can't sleep. I want to be on my knees. I want to be before your throne. I want to be thanking you for all that you've done for me. There is a determination here. Because I love your word, because I appreciate it, I am going to thank you for all that you've done for me. Psalm 119, verse 164. He says, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. What keeps us up at night? Is it a gratitude to God? Is it a gratitude and a need for thanksgiving for all that He's given unto us? Do we remember that every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning? Every great blessing, and especially the spiritual blessings of life, are from God. James chapter 1 and verse 17. And so Paul would instruct the Christians at Colossae, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, Colossians 4 and verse 2. Yes, bring your cares and your petitions, your needs before God, but don't also forget to be thankful for all that He's done for us. The psalmist says, I'm going to thank God for His Word, for His instructions, for the rule book of life, if you will, that He's given unto me, that guides and directs my path. And finally tonight, I want to consider the resolve of the psalmist, as there is an I will of a separate life. That no matter what everyone else does, I know what I'm going to do. The world can turn away from you, but God, I'm going to follow you because I love you, because I love your word. Psalm 119, verse 69 says, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Verse 78, he says, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. And again in verse 115, depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. It doesn't matter what everyone else does. It doesn't matter what people say to me. It doesn't matter what people do to me. I am resolved that I'm going to follow God's will. Again, I think of Paul. Here's Paul, whether I'm in prison, whether I'm free, I'm going to proclaim God's word. He would tell the Philippians, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Philippians 4, verse 11 and 12. Whatever state I am in. Well, however things are going for me in my life, maybe they're looking up, maybe they're looking down, but still I'm going to follow God. No matter what people say about me, no matter what they try to do to me, nevertheless, I'm going to continue following my God. Earlier in that same book, Philippians 1, verse 15 and 18, he would say, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, some also of goodwill, but notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I do therein rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. In that chapter, Paul says, there's some people out there preaching Christ, hoping to bring more affliction upon me. I'm going to continue doing that which is right. And I'm going to continue rejoicing that Christ is preached among them. What about our attitude? Christ was certainly our greatest example. And He's praying in the garden. He's able to say, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Luke 22 and verse 42. In everything, He showed this same purpose. No matter what happens to me, I'm going to do God's will. I'm going to follow Him. He was about to go to the cross and die for the very people that were killing Him. But not just them. For you and for I. Or me. He was willing to do that. Because He was going to follow God's will. And so we need that same resolve. That we can be faithful even unto death and enjoy that crown of righteousness. Revelation 2 and verse 10. That we determine, like so many of the faithful that we read about on the pages of the Bible. Sometimes things went well. Sometimes we'd consider them a great success. Maybe even the world would. Other times the world might consider them a failure, but they continued faithful to God. They proclaimed His Word, even though they were rejected by the world. They were faithful to God, and so they were successful in the eyes of God. Will we have that same resolve? I've set myself apart to follow God, to follow His will, and no matter what else happens, I'm going to do that which is right. The resolutions here that the psalmist made shows he loves God, he loves His will. We looked last week at how time and again the psalmist is expressing that great love. Someone once said, "Love shown is love known." The psalmist doesn't just say, "I love you, God, and it's not going to show in my life." He says, "I love you and I love your word, and it's going to show. Because I will serve you. I will put it into action. I will think of your word consistently. I will delight to carry it out even with great vigor. I will voluntarily follow you. I will proclaim thy word even unto other people. I will be thankful unto you. I will serve you even though no one else does." That's the same kind of resolve that we need even today. That we, like the psalmist, can say, I will serve you. Like Paul exhorted long ago in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Have that determination. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to follow His will. And I know that hope is not in vain. Because I do so, as I do so, I have the greatest hope and the greatest joy, the greatest expectation of that eternal life with God in heaven. That as I've been faithful because I have heard the gospel, I've believed it, repented of my sins and confessed Christ, been immersed or baptized for the remission of my sins, I've been washed away, I've been added into the body of Christ, the church, which He's promised to save, that gives me that hope. I'm going to have this determination the psalmist expressed. I will follow Him. I will follow His Word. If I stumble, if I fall, I'm going to get that determination back. I'm going to repent of that sin and then continue. I will serve you. I'm not going to give up. And the reward for the faithful at the end of the life, even as Paul, as he reached the end of his life, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. He was able to say that henceforth I look forward to that crown of life, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give unto me at that last day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. Do we have that same determination as the psalmist that I will do God's will? Because I love Him. I love the instructions that He's given me. And so it's going to show in my life. If you're subject to that invitation, wouldn't you respond even now as together we stand and sing?
I have decided to follow Jesus.